right. Well, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Of course, the issue has to be clarified that indeed he shouldn't be in jail at the moment because he's made bail. And in a certain sense, in a better society, there shouldn't be statues of Columbus, and indeed they would probably all be torn down once after the revolution and that sort of thing. But given the current situation, as another caller has mentioned, it's not remarkable that he was arrested for smashing a Columbus statue. And an example of a different approach was in Santa Barbara, where the head of the Columbus statue was smashed off, but it was done at night, and no one saw who did it. And so there's the case of the headless Columbus, and he was probably headless to begin with, or perhaps heartless, but there's no sacrificial victim in jail that was requiring a lot of time and energy from a lot of people, and that certainly is a consideration. And I'm candid about that because I am also still trying to help. But I think that people should realize that when they engage in lone wolf actions, that it takes up other people's time if they want to be sympathetic. And it's not sometimes, in fact, it's in this case, definitely was not the best thing to do. And it should, for people who really are, regard themselves as revolutionaries or radicals or want to see fundamental change or see the best use of resources, you got to think about that real carefully. And you gotta do some consultation, I think, with other people around that issue. I mean, I myself am often criticized for being such a lone wolf in terms of, for example, writing the occasional homeless newsletter that I put out, the street shit sheet. I don't go to other people and say, you know, should I put this or should I put that? I say what I think is true, and I do my research, and I put it in there. But then again, I don't ask other people to pay my libel bills. I've never been sued for libel because I write the truth. But I do suffer as a consequence. I suffer ostracism, I suffer criticism, and so forth.
Hi, you're on free radio.
So speaking of vandalism,
yes.
Vandalism and such,
mm-hmm.
I was interested to note that after that last article in the paper, 2.5 months ago, that said, we're getting the stuff back from the lab, the very special lab over in the city, because we sent it, and we want to find the people that have been flooding Santa Cruz's buildings.
Uh-huh.
And when they got that information back, they put it in the next day's paper, too. Information due to come back from over special crime lab.
Mm-hmm.
Crackdown expected. And boom, nothing. And then absolutely nothing in the newspapers. Absolutely nothing. You know why? Because they can't hang their head. You know?
Well, it sounds like the waterworks people are, should we say, at large. That's all I can say. And frankly, though I'm not a big advocate of vandalism...
Well, just think if they did that during the day, broad daylight, with everybody watching. I'm going to take this hose, and I'm going to put it in this building to protest X and X.
Right. Well, again, you know, there is a school of thought that does that, and as long as you understand what you're doing and are willing to suffer the consequences and don't expect other people to pay the price, I think that, you know, there's a reasonable argument for that.
Yeah.
But it's not my kind of thing, that's for sure.
Right. Especially going to the point of flooding a lawyer's office. I mean, that's asking to confine yourself to a dead end road.
Well, you are going out after the holiest of holies when you go after those lawyers. But frankly, I tend to snicker when I think about it. Although, of course, it's not my office. I wouldn't snicker if it were my office.
Right.
But you know, on the other hand, I'm not a lawyer, so maybe.
Well, I wouldn't snicker if some of my papers happened to be sitting on a desk that got soaked, and now my case is washed up. No pun intended.
That's true.
You know,
on the other hand, I think the point of these vandals, although I don't understand what the point was, I've heard different speculations. I mean, I noticed it happened after the state parks did their latest Santa Cruz only harassment of homeless people,
right,
by restricting the number of days that people could stay there to 30 days per year.
So that's
which
state,
is ridiculous.
State parks.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't
think that accounted for that.
I don't know. That was, I mean, there was speculation in the story.
Before it was released in the press.
Oh, really? Well, then maybe it didn't account for it.
Okay.
I mean, I know that there was discussion in the month before among homeless people that,
right,
this was happening. So who knows?
Yeah, because I had to sit in court and hear them like divert cases because of the flooded damage.
Right. I mean, all I know is that no one that I know was involved. I have no direct information that anybody was involved.
Well, they were smart for quitting when they did. This is true.
Right.
I thought, I was trying to think in my head of like potential other targets of what would come up to be flooded, but...
You know, but these are just, see, to me, people are getting flooded out every night in a certain sense by, you know, when they're driven away by police, when their property is confiscated, when they're abused and thrown into jail. I mean, I'm more concerned about these issues, and I don't want to, I don't know, I mean, so if people want to get all upset about a flooded office or a flooded building, I mean, I also don't like the fact that the city hall is moving into administrative offices. The more administrative offices are being built instead of shelters. It pisses me off.
Well, yeah, there is a definite level of agitation involved in an individual that has to. I mean, they don't. You know, the hours they do. It's obvious they're either out walking or unrest of or something.
I don't know. I haven't been following it.
And driven and prodded, like you said.
Don't know, but I mean, I know what bothers me, and that's what I think. Those are the issues that I hope bother the rest of us.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Burn down the mall.
All right. Well, never mind.
We'll have to call in the hose brigade for that one. If there was something other than cement on the mall to burn down, you know, I don't recommend burning down the mall. I don't recommend arson. I don't recommend vandalism as an approach, by the way. And I don't say that just because it's nice to be legal or it's safe to be legal. I think it also makes some good sense not to... To appeal to the common problems that we all face and the common situation we all find ourselves in is a better bet, you know, than I think other things. So getting back to the issue of city council's meeting this Tuesday, the first thing you'll find, or nearly the first thing on the city council agenda, I will get into as soon as I take this phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hello, Robert. This is John.
Hey, John.
At the Santa Cruz College of People.
Uh-huh.
Just want to let people know I'll be down at the mall in front of Borders today having people sign letters to Judge Demby to request that the new evidence be included in a second post-conviction relief act hearing process. So make it real easy for people. All I have to do is just sign the letter and we'll send it in for them.
Sounds good.
And I just want to let people know that there's a couple of protests coming up from Omea.
Go ahead.
San Francisco Chronicle Mass Picket Line and Outreach Day, September 15th, that's Saturday, 12 to 1 p.m., and there'll be some community outreach after that. I guess they'll be running around the neighborhood just handing out flyers or something. That's going to be at the Chronicle Building, 5th and Mission Streets in San Francisco. There'll be carpools assembling at the town clock in downtown Santa Cruz at 9:30 a.m. and leave for San Francisco by about 9:45 a.m. Then, if you can figure out how to get to Philadelphia by the 15th, there's going to be a emergency action from Omea. It's going to be at Philadelphia City Hall, 15th and Market Streets in Philadelphia. Last time I checked, I guess one of the cheaper ways to get there would be to log on to cheaptickets.com. They may be able to get you something for around $4.50 round trip. There may be another, I forget what the airline was, it was like, there was another way to get there, but if you fly into Washington, D.C. So that's basically it for now. We also have our meetings this afternoon at 5 o'clock at Loudon Nelson Park.
And what's the phone number people can reach you at?
425-4467.
425-4467.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
And I was also down here at the mall yesterday, and I kind of noticed the police were up to their usual harass the homeless scenario. Where they, I don't know, I guess it was more like a, I guess they call them quality of life arrests, where they see somebody who doesn't quite fit in, so they figure out a reason to haul them out of jail.
And how many times did that happen?
Happened twice.
And what was the
cause?
3 to 4 hours.
Well, this one guy was a deaf guy, deaf and mute, and he was being a little bit obnoxious, but he wasn't really bothering people that much. And I think they took him in on a charge of public urination when I didn't see anything like that happen, so I don't know how they got that one to stick. And then another little while later, after I guess it was about 4 o'clock, some guy was just sitting in front of a window and he got arrested too. I don't know what for. He was just sitting there as far as I could tell.
Could have been warrants or conceivably the sitting ban, although I haven't heard of an arrest under the sitting ban for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for keeping an eye on the street and keep calling in and keeping us informed, John.
Sure.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Your turn to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, call in number 427-3772. Again, on Tuesday at the 3 o'clock session where most things are happening, that's at 809 Center Street, if you don't know, there are a series of claims. I've never seen so many claims on one agenda. It looks like A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. It looks like at least 11, maybe more claims. And that's people who are asking the city for money based upon misconduct or negligence or some kind of problem with an agency. And here's an example. Here's claimant Matthew P. Bowen for a case that's 3 years old, more than 3 years old, March 8, 1998. He's asking for $110,000. He alleges that his vehicle was improperly towed by city police and then held and sold at auction without affording him a timely and appropriate hearing. He is representing himself. And the next claimant is Douglas Paul Dalrymple, and an incident that happened this spring where he claims only $388, but he claims that his vehicle was improperly towed by city police, and he is representing himself. Another claimant, Renee Lynn Glabus, in another spring case, $747 she wants. She claims she suffered economic loss as a result of an improper failure of city police to notify her that her stolen vehicle had been recovered, and she's representing herself. There's a couple of other kind of wild cards. Harold Griffith is making an unspecified claim, saying that the city's admissions tax is illegal. He also has a second claim that the utility user tax is illegal. James Edward Hart claims that while he was surfing, he was injured by a kayak. Again, all these people are representing themselves. Emily Kimball claimed that her car was improperly towed by city police. She wants $300 back. And our old friend Mary Curie, who is an elderly woman in her 70s who has lost her housing in February of last year and has been essentially trying to use the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, crashing at people's houses, panhandling the mayor, you name it, looking for housing. She has actually the money to get housing, but she can't find housing. She has sued the city for an incident, I believe it happened at the Homeless Services Center, where she was injured as a result of excessive force used by city police during the course of her arrest. I don't mean the Homeless Services Center. I mean in involving police, where she was arrested at the Homeless Services Center for trespass because she wouldn't leave because they wanted her to leave. Now, she's not the most easy to deal with person, but it always seems to be a serious matter when you're demanding somebody leave a shelter at night. And she was dragged by the police out of there in handcuffs. Michael Schmidt was actually a witness to that, although I think he took a more positive view of police behavior than I did. It wasn't police behavior, really, that I was concerned about when I heard about this account. It was the shelter's behavior. It's like the shelter's action in arresting Robert Steffen, the man, you may remember, the man in the bag from a year and a half ago, who was on the mall for almost a year in a black plastic garbage bag. He was running for president. He was in front of the Bunny Shoes for a while, then he moved to Georgiana's Cafe and so forth. And the issue is he was arrested as well for trespass three times at the Homeless Services Center. He simply just stayed on the property saying, I'm not going to go away. You've got to provide shelter. That's what you say you're going to do. Or else, because there's a camping ban, I can't go anywhere else. And so they arrested him, in essence, making the situation worse. Robert Steffen, by the way, as a quick update, has now found housing. That's what I heard from the community house, Page Smith Community House's management. He stayed there for a while, and he's now living in housing near the campus, or on the campus, I'm not sure which. So that story has turned out well housing-wise, if that's a true account. And those of you who want to support Robert Steffen's presidential campaign are just going to have to sniff him out, because I don't know where he is. We're talking about what's on the City Council agenda on Tuesday. Also coming up, a claim by Emily Taryn Kimball that her car was improperly towed by city police, $300. I already said that. Here's a claim that by Rodney E. Markell that he was injured in a bicycle accident at the Santa Cruz Classic Criterion Bicycle Race. Claim by Melissa Ann McCone for $195 that her car was improperly towed by city police. Numerous people seem to feel that the city police and the towing company are not acting properly. Surely they they're all, this must be a conspiracy against an innocent police department, I must say. I mean, our police department wouldn't be doing that sort of thing, right? There's another claimant, Randall and Amy Nelson, who claim that the city is liable for injuries to a pedestrian who fell on a sidewalk in front of their property, the Tea House Spa, and they don't say how much money they want, but they are represented by an attorney, and so I think they may actually get more serious consideration at one level or another. And finally, there's a number of other claims, but I think I've gone over the ones that are of most interest to me. The next issue on the City Council that interests me is item 3, and again, this is all the 3 o'clock agenda. It's a recommendation that the City Council adopt a memorandum of understanding with the Police Officers Association and Police Management Association and approving revisions to the compensation plan. Current memorandum of understanding expires March 2002, and as a result of salary and benefit improvements in other surrounding police agencies, discussions have been held with the POA and the PMA, those are the two police officer unions, for an extension of the current memorandum of understanding in advance of the current expiration of those contracts. They reached a tentative agreement, and in an effort to stay competitive with salary and benefits given by surrounding police agencies, a 6-year extension of the current MOU, memorandum of understanding, has recently been reached with these two organizations. And the intent of the new contract is to assist the city to recruit and retrain police officers and their wage increases. 2% September 2002, April 2003, 4.25%, and there's a series of other increases up to 7.5% in April of 2007. And there's a retirement benefit. There's a number of things. Now, I think every public official, police, non-police, should be paid, and paid so they can live, given a living wage. And I think that should be true of people who are homeless and working too, particularly with people who are homeless. So I'm not against the police departments getting a fair shake. In fact, I supported the sheriffs and their strike or their demonstrations at the Board of Supervisors when they were seeking higher wages. I don't like a lot of what the sheriff's department does. So you wonder, why are you supporting increased funding for them? You know, well, because they are working stiffs as well, sometimes more stiff than working. Here's a phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, my name is D.L.L. Chalabi, and I've been listening to your show. And I wanted to say, first of all, I agree with you about the use of violence and destruction to try to get a point across.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that it's really a problem isn't so much because you're breaking the law, it's because you're discrediting whatever's going on. Agent provocateurs typically infiltrate any group with any cause and do things which will cause society in general to turn against that group for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. As well as members of the group itself.
Right. So simply by putting, for instance, in the World Trade Organization, some people up there who are going to take all the attention by breaking some windows or knocking over vending machines, suddenly that gets all the attention and the issue of the World Trade Organization is lost.
Right.
One of the really important ways I think we need to approach this, and I don't think it's going to happen soon, but it will over time, is by bringing things to the courts and doing it repeatedly in such a manner that the courts can no longer ignore what's going on. And going back to even, you know, our early history, we had in the preamble to American constitutional law, which is the authorizing document for all police power in the United States, says that when there is not equal protection under the law, then the right to police power is null and void. This was argued in the courts of England long before we actually had the Revolutionary War. And today, we see things like a few years ago, there were the Santa Cruz surfers and Rancho Palos Verdes who got beat up, and the parents wouldn't touch the people, or the police wouldn't touch the people who did the beating, because their parents were so rich and they were so afraid of litigation. Whereas we have the opposite extreme, the homeless, where it doesn't matter what you do to the homeless, nobody's going to complain and there's no economic backlash as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happened is we no longer have equal protection under the law. Since that basic tenet of the right to police power is being violated, then every time any police action is taken that is violating a person's rights, that person can go and say that, look, equal protection under the law does not exist. If I had a lawyer and $1 billion, I would have plenty of protection, and if I'm penniless, I have no protection. And because there is not equal protection under the law, the right to police power is null and void. Therefore, I have the right to sue the individuals or government agencies that cause me damage, regardless of whether they belong to the police force or not, because they're not acting legally with the right to police power.
Yeah, I think you're making a lot of important points here. Wow.
I know, that was a mouthful, but
yeah.
I had to get it out.
No, I'm glad you did, and I will simply let it speak for itself. Is there more you want to say?
No, I did want to essentially stress the preamble to American constitutional law, which guarantees us that their right to police power is dependent on equal protection under the law for all people, not just one economic group or one of any other type of group.
Yeah, of course, the problem has always been that we've never had equal protection of the law, and poor people have always been in a different situation in that regard. But, you know, it's...
And for years, and again, 200 years ago, there were alternatives. There was plenty of open space. A poor person could wander off somewhere and find a place to go. But in our society, more and more today, everything is economically controlled. It doesn't matter where you go. If you don't have some kind of economic license to be there, then you become a victim.
Yeah, there's some truth in that. Of course, you know, one would think that we're all entitled to a minimum economic license at some level, just by the fact that we're here.
Well, that's been the presumption all along, is that everybody does have a minimum. You know, that's what the right wing typically argues, is that, oh, there's plenty of jobs out there in the newspaper. They just don't want to work, kind of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
And in the olden days, like I said, there were more and more opportunities. But as we move into the future and the information age, those opportunities have almost disappeared from a large majority of people. And the whole backdrop against which all the laws and legislation have been made is quickly changing. And this needs to be the basis for reviewing the tenets like the right to police power.
Right. I agree with you completely, and I'm going to roll on unless there's more you want to say.
No, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Neil.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. I'm glad to get the new listeners here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and thank you for that call. Quickly, again, going back to City Council, then we're going to try to dash in this interview with Portland, Oregon's Dignity Village encampment up there that we thought had been taken down by police or abandoned or dispersed, and actually that's not the case. We got some good news on that. I'm talking about items on the afternoon agenda at 3 o'clock on Tuesday, day after tomorrow, at 809 Center Street. And if you have any comment on these items, you can just call into City Council, 420-5017, 420-5017, 420-5017. This police memorandum of understanding that I was talking about is not a bad thing, per se, except that in order to get adequate police review, to get a citizen group that really overlooks the police, for example, and oversees what they do and has meaningful contact with real complaints, they have to be able to subpoena police officers. They have to be able to hold public hearings. Now, our Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board has the power to do that, but it has never, and I repeat, never in its 6 years held a real public hearing with a police officer and the complainant each calling his or her witnesses and then having their presentation before the public. They can do it, but whenever I talked to Chair Arnie Leff about that, another Green Party favorite, he would tell me, oh, well, you can't get that done because in Berkeley, where people do it regularly with their Citizens Police Review Board, they had to have an memorandum of understanding where the police agreed to come in and do it. Otherwise, we'll have to sue them to get them in there. And my response is the same response that activists who are watching the city crumble on the seaside company, Tideland, land snatching. The same thing they say, I say. Take these fuckers to court. Take the police department to court if they don't want to follow the law. Take the Seaside Company to court if it doesn't want to follow the law, if it wants to continue to hold public land for private profit. If the police department wants to continue to be a law unto itself, doesn't want to have meaningful police review, then take those folks to court. Now, The other option, of course, since they won't take him to court, is to insist, as Berkeley did apparently in the last 10 or 20 years, in a memorandum of understanding that in order for various pension benefits that the officers agree to come in when there are complaints raised. Well, this is the memorandum of understanding. It is coming up on Tuesday for a city council vote. It should be sent back to the drawing room unless such a provision is added. And Arnie Leff of the Citizens Police Review Board should be leading the charge, because he's the man who says he won't call for a public hearing because it might embarrass the police department and the city, because the police wouldn't come, and because they would have to take it to court and they might not win. They have to do this whole process of getting the police there through a memorandum of understanding. Here it is. Here's a memorandum of understanding. Where is Dr. Arnie Leff? Possibly hiding in the same hole that he was hiding in when the medical marijuana club went down, because Valerie Corral's WHAM would not stand up and support an Oakland medical marijuana emergency with its pals on the city council, because they could continue to have special privileges, whereas Kate Wells' club, for instance, could not, even though it supplied a much larger number of people. I threw a lot of issues into that last statement, but I stand by what I said there. Another issue on the city council agenda is destruction of police records. I'm not going to go into it right now because I don't have time, but they're changing how long you can hold police records for, how long the city is obliged to hold police records. It's not clear to me what the current situation is, and it doesn't really say. It looks like it's making it for a longer period of time, which I would think would be better, but on the other hand, some might argue if you want to get records destroyed because you don't want your records running all over the place if you've engaged in some minor criminal behavior, like smashing a Columbus statue out there for endless amounts of time. There's also a big grant of money, $14,000 from the city to match $123,000 from the Department of Justice. This is item 25, as a local law enforcement block grant, LLEBG. And this is to give the cops a use of force training system, which is essentially a big video game for the police, one of these sort of action games where they can shoot at the live action figures and, do better target practice and that sort of thing, including verbal skills, baton, chemical agents, and firearms. No thanks. I would say no to that one, at least not until they get some. We get clear guidelines in terms of eliminating use of lethal force with a snap of the fingers, until we get some response to how people who are mentally ill or mentally challenged, like Happy John Dine, who got shot dead by Officer Connor Carey without any meaningful changes in police department policy, until those issues are dealt with, no more money for this kind of shoot-'em-up stuff by the police. There's also on the afternoon agenda an item for amending the Citizens Police Review Board law, which isn't a bad one. It says that the Citizens Police Review Board can do reviews of the police department's policies and practices as it sees fit, and summarize recommendations. I mean, they've been doing it anyway, and it's kind of a waste of time to even talk about it, but yeah, they should have that explicitly stated. That's fine. Of course, any of the other meaningful stuff we're not getting, such as an independent investigation regularly of any force situations.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Good, Doug. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing better. I had kind of a flu or something last week.
Yeah,
I wasn't able
to
even get to the phone to tell you. I told you that there was something we were wanting to talk on. It had to do with the police.
Seems timely.
Oh, yeah, that the police have actually decided to condone a beating that happened at our house. Marilyn's son came over and beat her trying to get to me. But they condoned it because of my legal marijuana that I have growing, which they already knew about. I've had for 2 years here. In fact, the sons have been notified and shown all the papers for a couple of years in any way. But they use that as an excuse to come over. It's actually some real petty family stuff, and I don't know what to do. But in the investigation, what has happened is that he was found guilty of actually smashing a tape player like you have, because we were trying to tape what was going on, and he pled guilty to that, and I think next Thursday or so we go to court and get the money back on that. But he was not even investigated properly.
Who are the cops?
The police officer that originally came by was Kerry Lindgren.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I like to call him Hebe. I know his name's Hebe, but, you know, he's just a, he's really white trash guy.
Oh, Lieutenant Hebe. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that did the investigation or lack of investigation of it. And he's the first one to make me understand that, you know, that it was all right for her son to come over here and beat her till she was bleeding in the front yard, because I had 7 marijuana plants growing here. Of course, you know, they left out the part that, you know, when I told them the police are on their way, you can explain this to them. You know, they got in their car and left, and the police didn't even get hold of them for 9 days. By that time, they'd come up with this story. Which I said was really invalid, because they had known for 2 years. In fact, they tried to buy some from me, and I told them that, you know, they had to get a card.
Mm-hmm.
And as this is just a couple of months ago. So I don't know if this caused it all. It actually has to do with, because, you know, Marilyn and I were planning on getting married. There's some prop. It's, you know, it's all this
it
stuff.
It should be said, Doug.
There's some property values that have... That all of a sudden they've worried about. We don't care. We're getting ready to buy an RV and leave this scum behind.
Now, you know, Doug, it should be said also that you worked at the Homeless Services Center. You've been a sort of outspoken homeless activist.
Right.
You've worked with the Homeless Issues Task Force
kind
as well.
I wonder if we get the equal protection under the
well,
law.
Well, it could
just
be
like what that
equal
guy
harassment
did.
In this case, perhaps.
Sure.
You know, let me, is there more you want to say on this subject? This is something I would encourage you to do a couple things. I would encourage you to, I'd like to see a citizens police tribunal formed of interested people who want to actually air these things in a more public way. Rather than trying to use the impossible Citizens Police Review Board. But I also suggest you file a complaint with them, you file a claim against the city for damages, and that we talk more about this when there's more time.
Yeah, I intend to, you know, mm-hmm. like we had to get to a lot of the bottom of it, and we talked to the DA about it the other day, and it's real interesting. The original complaint was called in supposedly as a burglary. They did some real fancy footwork.
You know, what you might do is come tomorrow, and I'll say this for the rest of the radio audience. Tomorrow at 5:30 is the one and only September meeting of the Citizens Police Review Board. It's at 5:30. If you come at 5:30, you can actually speak to the board. Unfortunately, it's not televised usually, but it does get taped, so it becomes part of the public record of
mm-hmm.
sorts. And
we're going to do that and then talk to city council, too, and get this. We're going to start it rolling.
Right, and that, of course, oral communications at city council tomorrow is at 7 o'clock, so 5:30 at the CPRB Monday, again at City Hall, same place the city council meets, and at 7 o'clock at the city council meeting, you can speak then as well. Or you can come in the afternoon session and speak on a police item and mention that you yourself have had some difficulties with the police, and therefore you feel that this kind of expenditure is not appropriate until these problems are dealt
with. They pretty much say he had a valid reason to come over here and beat her because there was marijuana growing in
Let's
our
talk
yard.
More about it when we have more time.
I want to talk to, also, we heard Linda LeMaster, and we've been calling her, must not be taking her messages, or it's an old message phone that doesn't live there anymore. If she could give me a call at 459-7313. We've been trying to get hold of her.
Well, perhaps if
this.
Linda's listening, she can do that. She may also be picking up. Well, call, you can leave a message on my phone if you can't get through to her.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Bye-bye.
And we're not going to have time to play this entire interview, but I think it's worth playing. In the evening session of City Council, again, the Camp Paradise resolution comes up as item 32, I believe, on the afternoon, repeat, afternoon session. This is an item which says that, and I'll read this item in just a moment. It's item number 31, actually, on the afternoon City Council agenda. And the specifics of the item are as follows. That the City Council discuss the Santa Cruz Community Land Trust proposal for Camp Paradise and consider directing appropriate departments to establish criteria for short-term maintenance of Camp Paradise within the context of a pilot project to be organized by community groups. Discussion. Members of the Santa Cruz Community Land Trust have proposed to allow Camp Paradise to exist on a temporary basis as a pilot project at its current location so as to allow the development of a more permanent site to house homeless persons. A period of 6 months has been proposed. In order to do this, however, they want to make sure that the impact of Camp Paradise at its current location is minimized and are proposing that the city establish criteria by which the camp would need to comply. A major component of such criteria will need to address environmental issues, including sanitation, utilities, and river habitat protection. Responsibility for implementing the measures, by the way, I see you, caller, keep ringing and I'll pick you up in a moment. And maintaining the pilot project will be placed on local community groups, with the Santa Cruz Community Land Trust taking the lead role. Therefore, I recommend the City Council direct appropriate departments to establish criteria for short-term maintenance of Camp Paradise within the context of a pilot project to be organized by community groups. Fiscal impact unknown. Mark Premack, and we'll be talking about that in a moment.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, Ed.
Hey, Ed, what's up?
I'm calling the Church of North. I just have a comment.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed, I wanted to thank, for a long time I haven't had much belief that the Green Party was doing much, right? But lately I checked in, I looked in the Santa Cruz Comic News.
Right.
And there's a dude named Ray Newkirk.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hell of a good article. I just wanted to thank him. He did a great article comparing Camp Paradise to Big Mountain, and I'll let you go. I know you're busy.
Right. Well, listen, actually, every issue of the Comic News for the last four issues has had a good article on Camp Paradise and from a different perspective. And I think these come from Green Party members, but it is not at all from an official Green Party group. So be aware of that.
Still, they're part of the deal. And I also wanted to thank Tom. I forget his last name. The editor or the owner of that Comic News, personally, my belief is that's about the only newspaper going on in Santa Cruz. It packs a heavy message.
Well, don't forget Sarah Phelan of the...
And her, too.
Of the Metro Santa Cruz, yeah.
Goodness bless her, too. That's right, her.
All righty.
But if you notice, it's just her, it seems like.
Yeah, pretty much. Let me ask you, Ed, have you heard anything about, you've heard about that Harvey West is now going to move to put parking signs in on the 3 o'clock agenda.
Right.
Is there any chance that the Vehicular Residents Association, such as it is or isn't, will be coming to that meeting to say whoa to the City Council?
I'm planning on it. I hope others do. It's just like, they're kind of like victims sitting out there on a hot, blazing, I'm talking blazing fucking hot street. There's no shade or anything, right? They're just trying to get through the day, live another day, just like any wildlife or anything. Now they're going to come in with their vile little petty signs, 5 a.m. to 7, so they can sweep the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't see through that. I don't know.
It seems to me that there's a mediated way this could be done. I mean, if they really want to move vehicles to sweep the streets, They could post temporary signs once
a week.
We'll
sweep the streets. I'll get out there and sweep the whole damn street. Nobody else has to get into it.
Right. I mean, that's also, I think, that actually, if you and the Vehicular Association formed a group that agreed to clean up the area and also a contact person for whom people could come with their problems and if there were complaints, as I said before, I think that would be a great approach, but it does require an organization sort of getting together to do that. And I know some people have expressed interest in it. Maybe you can inquire a little further into it and also tell people that they should be showing up at this council meeting at 3 o'clock if they don't want to have their vehicles towed away at 5 a.m. or get parking tickets for that
I don't know, it's so mind-boggling at this day and age that power would want to impose their power on the weak. I just can't understand it. I can't fathom it. I just can't.
It's traditional for people in positions of power to do that, unfortunately. And there's a lot of people out that they're scared of that are down there who have less than they do because, they're afraid that we want everything they have. We want their mansions, we want their cars and their planes, we want their fancy French dinners. We want their positions.
It's so simple to kind of imagine. Just imagine all that shit being gone. The cars, the planes, the boats, and da 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 da. You're going to be in the same boat as us, but it's anyway. And that could end at any time with screwed up economies. Thank you, Robert.
Hey, thank you.
Being at the Church of North. See ya.
All right.
Bless you, my son. You're tuned to the Church of... No, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. I've just read Mark Premack's agenda item coming up on the afternoon, repeat, afternoon agenda, not the evening agenda, as was misreported in the Sentinel, on the Camp Paradise's Santa Cruz Community Housing Land Trust proposal for Camp Paradise. So That's in the afternoon. And also, of course, there's this Harvey West sign deal, money for the police, a memorandum of understanding that allows them to lock into place their salary increases without first giving the quid pro quo of having police officers agreeing to deal with real complaints that come up. And that is another travesty. And you should also call the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board and ask Arnie Leff and his fellow CPRB members to toddle their way down to the city council tomorrow and demand that there be some action and some inclusion in this memorandum of understanding of real public hearing guarantees that the police will come to those hearings. So we don't have to go through a lawsuit. And if they don't want to do that, then they should bite the bullet. The Citizens Police Review Board doesn't want to go down there, or the city council refuses to pass that. Then the CPRB should bite the bullet and subpoena the police officers, because it's in the law now. If you have a complaint, then you have the right, provided the Citizens Police Review Board votes to allow you that right, to have a public hearing and to have police officers there. So, that's never happened. It's time for them to start following the law. Remember the law, Citizens Police Review Board members? The law. It's supposed to affect the rich and poor, and as we know, it seems to be affecting the rich, but not having too much impact, other than a miserable impact, on poor people. In the afternoon, I should say in the evening, there are two items on the agenda that interest me. One is oral communications or public comment. That's the one where Fitzmaurice will have you arrested and removed from the room if you give him a salute that says, "Sieg Heil, you're acting like a Nazi, Mayor Fitzmaurice." If you make that statement to him, in essence, that's considered no longer free speech. Perhaps it hits too close to the truth. I was removed not for saying Sieg Heil, but for giving the Nazi salute and then referring to him as Fuhrer Fitzmaurice after he cut off Phil Baer from speaking his three-minute piece at Oral Communications on the key Tidelands issue, which Fitzmaurice is, of course, more than a little embarrassed by as a Green Party member. And, of course, we will see a lack of Green Party members who don't want to offend the mayor at the mic, though I've got to say that these Green Party members are getting bolder, and who knows, one of these days they may prove me wrong, and I'll be real glad when that moment comes. Real glad. Another thing we're going to see, there's another thing actually that's on the afternoon agenda. It's the choice of a member of the San Lorenzo Urban River Restoration Project, or SLURP. SLURP is this group of individuals concerned with the environment. We've heard Patricia Matichek talking on the air. She's a member of that group and I think of the Parks and Rec Commission as well. And she's a big critic of Camp Paradise, but as of the time of her speaking to us, had never gone down to the camp. She had criticisms of Camp Paradise, claiming that belittling their claims to have cleaned up many tons of garbage there, needles and trash, by claiming that there was a regular cleanup prior in the middle during that same period by the city. I asked her to get the records on that. She hasn't called me back. So I don't know what to say. I tend to get rather heated sometimes when people in official positions send nasty notes into environmentally influence a city council to use the environment as the pretext to trash homeless people and the places that they're living in the sense that their ability to live there, even though they're taking better care of the environment than was taken care of before, is going to be removed because the pressure will be on the city council to do that. I have here a draft agenda report of the San Lorenzo Urban River Task Force, encampments along the San Lorenzo River. And the recommendation is that the council by motion accept the following report concerning encampments and adopt the recommended management measures. It's a pretty long three-page report, and it recommends the following. Monthly trash removal program along the riverbanks and channels. Provision of temporary and permanent general restrooms and facilities along the river corridor. So far, so good. No problem, I agree. Ensure public safety and public access to the river through increased outreach services and police patrols. They haven't been too successful in the past. You may not remember this, but after dark, thank you, Catherine Byers, Scott Kennedy, and the City Council from 1998 and before, it is illegal to be walking along the riverbank after dark, even if you're doing absolutely nothing illegal. That is, in itself, an infraction. I pause for emphasis. Finally, the last part of this, which is not good, is cleanup and abatement of camps which present public health hazards. Now, I guess maybe not. Maybe it's put in such a way that they are not suggesting that a public encampment necessarily presents a health hazard. That would be positive. Several camps throughout the river corridor present immediate human health hazards due to the presence of human feces, hypodermic needles, and other drug paraphernalia. These camps should be appropriately noticed, abated, and cleaned in a timely and fair manner to ensure that human health and sanitation is maintained on public lands and in public waters within the city limits. You know, I may have to revise my opinion of these folks. This is not an unreasonable report. Here's an incoming call.
Hi there, you're on free radio.
I can't let that slide over. We got the biggest damn water sitting off our coast here on the bay, man. And they're not holding the same standards to that. So whose smoke are they blowing up whose ass?
I want to be more specific.
I mean, who are they, of 3 years it's been ongoing, the pollution, the bio levels in the bay, okay, at the outlets. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I'm like, huh. And now they're worried, you know what I mean, about some people sitting on a thing. You know, and they're going to go to that? They have the nerve? They have the nerve to refer to something that there is no continuing, like, 3 years investigation, and they haven't found a single clue as to who the gross polluters are.
Well, that's
and
interesting.
And even when they find them.
Remember that, as I said, I just discovered by reading this report more carefully that in talking about encampments, they are... And I may be missing something because it's a longer section than I'm really carefully reading here, but they are not necessarily recommending that Camp Paradise be removed, for example, or that clean camps be removed. So maybe we have some real opportunity to work here with this group. And by the way, they are meeting tomorrow. They are meeting tomorrow if you want to go and give them a piece of your mind or hear what they have to say. They're meeting on September 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Santa Cruz Police Station Community Room. That's at 155 Center Street. That's across from Loudoun Nelson Center. It's the community room and the police station, and they usually serve little refreshments. So you might be able to, you know, to codge a croissant or two or a cookie or two.
It'll be interesting, like, if anybody had taken samples from the levee before Saul's closed down, and now that they have closed down, to start taking samples and to see if some of the critters return to that area.
Right. Got to go.
All right.
All righty.
So again, there are several meetings tomorrow. First, the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board at 5:30. You can come and give your complaint. Maybe Doug McGrath will show up there, and you'll be able to support him and Marilyn Weaver and their concern about what they consider to be Lieutenant Habey's failure to follow up on an investigation involving a physical assault. Again, I don't know the details. I can't speak for either side, but I certainly think it should be appropriate for both sides to present their perspective. Lieutenant Habey, of course, isn't likely to do that. And I believe in this sense we must be advocates for people who are trying to present their perspective since they get so little hearing anyway. That's at 5:30 in the City Council chambers tomorrow. Then at 7 o'clock, about five blocks away, right beyond Laurel Street, we're right across from Loudoun Nelson Center where the new police station is, from 7 to 9 is the San Lorenzo Urban River Task Force. And according to this report, at 8 o'clock, homeless encampments report to council comes to this San Lorenzo Urban River Task Force. So if you want to be on board for that, be advised. Another thing I wanted to mention as time winds down for Bathrop Spears Broadsides, we have 5 minutes left in the show officially, although if Skidmark doesn't show up at 1:30, all bets are off, or whoever's show it is at the moment. It's customarily Skidmark's been covering this. Berkeley Homeless Union is announcing a protest Tuesday in Berkeley at the Berkeley City Council. They ask the City Council and Berkeley stakeholders, where are we going to sleep? September 11th, 2134 Martin Luther King Jr. Way, for a rally and food at 5 p.m. before they go in to speak before at 7 p.m. at the public comment. They're not on their agenda. Berkeley Homeless Union Action Planning Meeting was already on September 6th at 1 p.m. and they're planning to do a protest, I believe, at the at the Triangle at Telegraph and Dwight. I think we may have already done this protest. Probably have. September 6th. That was several days ago. Berkeley shelters, according to this flyer, are full, and many are forced to sleep outside in vehicles and other situations where the very act of sleeping continues to be criminalized. Of course, this is also true in Santa Cruz, for those of you who don't know. Despite the passage of Berkeley's homeless and civil and human rights resolution in April, the problems of police harassment of the homeless continue, and there has been no increase in available, legally safe places to sleep. Does this sound familiar, folks? Santa Cruz is exactly the same, in spite of all the mealy-mouthed social service rhetoric of Tim Fitzmaurice and the so-called progressive city council. There has not been one extra legal place to sleep for homeless people. I may have to amend that because they did open an additional church this spring. I think there was we had 39 spaces instead of 28 or 24, always full, pretty much, according to Karen Brock of the Homeless Services Center, for 1,000 to 2,000 people. No significant increase. How's that? Let's try to be accurate. Actually, there has been a continued loss in relatively safe places to find illegal lodging. And that is happening in Berkeley, 5 o'clock, Tuesday, September 11th, 2134 Martin Luther King, and then they're going to go to city council. And this is a group of people who actually got their city council to make real changes. There's actually a good article on that subject, which I will begin to read if I find I have time to do it. But you can show up there. They were able to get their city council to actually pass a resolution on April 24th. This was when 100 homeless people showed up, folks. And so it gives you some idea of what we need here in Santa Cruz. And they demanded that city council make sleeping essentially no longer a crime, where people have to sleep during the shelter emergency. And they got a somewhat weakened version, which was still impressive, that the 647J state anti-homeless law, which prohibits, quote, lodging, which the police can interpret any way they want, and which police have been using, particularly university police, who kind of co-patrol the city with the Berkeley Police Department, that ordinance will be given the lowest priority for enforcement. It would only be enforced after one complaint and two warnings. And I'm going to now, actually, after this phone call, begin to read you an article about that issue in the current issue of Street Spirit. Looks like a caller hung up, but hey, give a call. You're welcome to call into Free Radio Santa Cruz at 427-3772. The article in the September issue of Street Spirit, which you can get by contacting Becky Johnson, who is a distributor of Street Spirit, and she's you can call her at 429-8529. Or drop by her Plymouth Street house, or you can also catch it probably more easily from Carl Wilson, who is a friend of Camp Paradise and who has a lot of these copies outside his house at 137 Felker Street. That's Street Spirit. And this is an article by Michael Deal, and it's called Sleep Still Hard to Come By for Berkeley's Homeless. And here it is. It was the moment we had come for, a moment for which we had worked and organized and protested. Now we waited its unfolding. The Berkeley City Council was finally going to discuss and vote on the homeless civil and human rights resolution that would make police enforcement of the illegal lodging law, 647J, and other anti-sleeping ordinances the lowest priority. The week before, on April 17th, we had gotten 100 homeless people and supporters out to the Berkeley City Council, only to wait until 11:30 p.m. to have the matter deferred. The council and the mayor told us how others present had waited so long and their items must be heard. But to us, the poor, no apologies were given except by City Council member Chris Worthington for being sent out in the night with no action taken. City Council member Linda Mayo had tried to move the agenda along to deal with the homeless human and civil rights resolution, but stalling tactics by the likes of Polly Armstrong, another council member, ate up the clock. On April 12th, organizers from the BOSS Community Organizing Team, that's Better Opportunities for Supportive Services, I believe, working with other activists from the Homeless Action Center, Cop Watch, SHARE, Poor News Network, Street Spirit, many other homeless agencies, and the Green and Peace and Freedom parties had gotten 150 people to the Berkeley courthouse in support of Ken Moshesh, a Poor News reporter, homeless activist, and video artist who had been arrested on the UC campus for illegal lodging. Now, on April 24th, following a good-sized rally at 5 p.m., our moment had come. Given the extra week caused by the delay at City Council, Yukon Hannibal and myself, Michael Deal, working for the BOSS community organizing team, had gone out, all out, flyering and getting people out. We got the City Council chambers filled early. Unlike the week before, many of the well-suited attendees found themselves locked out. We had surpassed our previous week's turnout, but couldn't get a full count since we didn't want to risk being locked out by the police. Many of our supporters were again locked out of the chambers. Once again, the City Council, despite legal requirements to do so, made no real effort to soundcast the testimony inside. We had, however, dominated the public comment. Our spirits were high. We had them surrounded, inside and out. One homeless youth stood up in full black block anarchist regalia, which made us a bit nervous, but then made a statement and walked out with a number of other gutter punks. Homeless folks noted that the police were preparing formations in a show of force. We clearly had called for this to be a peaceful action, but memories of past confrontations in these very chambers had to be on a few people's minds. Hopes of revolution were on more than a few people's minds here. Discipline was maintained. Hopes of building a movement of civil rights, following the example of Martin Luther King Jr., were also present here. Robin Miller, the chair of the Homeless Commission, who was to speak in support of Chris Worthington's HHCRR resolution, that's the Homeless Human and Civil Rights Resolution, was unable to get into the chambers. Instead, City of Berkeley staff were trotted out to raise objections to the resolution. Fred Madrano, the head of the Health and Human Welfare Department, and Harvey Turek, the head of Berkeley Mental Health, spoke against the resolution, saying the two warnings after citizen complaints before arrests could be made for 647J would target the mentally ill. In sitting with Worthington to draft the resolution, Darren Noy, head of the BOSS team, and myself had called for a moratorium on enforcement of the state 647J anti-lodging law. These city officials didn't call for a moratorium, but to maintain the status quo. They contended the law was seldom used and not abused. Finally, with the testimony of Deputy Police Chief Roy Messner, the city police released the figures on 647J arrests we had asked for to back up their contention it was seldom used by them, but rather more by the UC Berkeley police. Conveniently, leaving out reports of rousting the homeless and conducting warrant checks, thereby running them ragged and keeping them sleep-deprived, the police said that otherwise their reports did not correspond to my own data. Council member and probably progressive slate mayoral candidate next year, Linda Mao, spoke to the strong testimony heard earlier. Mao said that you don't see this intensity of angered outrage, especially from a community like the homeless that usually avoids getting politically involved, survival being difficult enough as it is, unless there was some real and deeply felt grievance going on. In a key moment, where she seemed to take charge of a situation that called for leadership, she said, "We must give them something," seeming to realize there could be some very serious discontent on the streets if nothing happened that night. The resolution was passed 5-3, with Polly Armstrong abstaining. A sense of great victory was felt by many of the homeless and their advocates that night on April 24th. But in the following few weeks, the Berkeley police would go against the spirit of the resolution so that the sense of victory would be robbed and the usual sense of powerlessness felt by the homeless would be intensified. As a result, they would feel that confronting City Hall and the powers that be just leads to greater repression. Over the next few weeks, vehicles of those who slept in them would be impounded, as in the case of Yukon Hannibal, twice. Squats would be found and broken up. Churches would be approached and no trespassing signs posted. Police would use the trespassing laws in the broad way the 647J law previously had been used to harass homeless people, clearly violating the intent of the council resolution and criminalizing the biological necessity for sleep for those without shelter in a town that has shut down 150 winter shelter beds on April 15th. The police complained that they were the only ones being unfairly targeted when they were really just being compassionate, even as they effectively reduced the relatively safe spots where homeless people could sleep. In the following month, we saw Caltrans bulldozing homeless people's stuff in Aquatic Park, and elderly vigilante squads with binoculars running down and harassing the homeless there. In a bogus misuse of the trespassing law, gutter punks were targeted on Telegraph Avenue for sitting on sidewalks in marked vendor spaces where no vendor had even sought to set up business. This was justified by the police because vendors were supposedly in great fear of these kids, so they couldn't just ask them to move on without fear of jeopardy. I told Officer Burkham that if the Southside police continued to misuse the trespassing laws in an illegal fashion, I would bring it up at the Police Review Commission. After that, they seemed to get the message. Sergeant Boga had decided, after over 30 years on the force, to retire. He had used the 647J law a lot to harass the homeless in the South Side and was a source of much other harassment against the homeless of Berkeley, such as the particularly egregious Operation Avwatch and the November-December 98 disappearing of Telegraph's homeless. UC police kept using 647J vigorously against homeless people on university property. Many buildings were made less accessible at night to limit people sleeping there or using the restrooms. The Bears Cafe was closed off to homeless people hanging out in the evening. UC police swept the hills and the campus eucalyptus grove and made arrests. On July 24th, 40 homeless people organized by the Berkeley Homeless Union went back to city council to complain about how the spirit of the homeless civil and human rights resolution had been violated. I put the Southside police force on notice that their misuse of the trespassing laws to prevent street youth from sitting on Telegraph was being documented and would be brought to the Police Review Commission if they kept it up. Afterwards, they stuck much closer to the law. There had been a summer lull in police targeting of the homeless, but now, as students return to town, police action against the homeless is again showing signs of picking up again. Ken Moshesh won a favorable court settlement on his 647J case when Judge Carol Brosnahan ruled on July 12th that just laying out a sleeping bag to sleep does not constitute lodging.
There you go.
All right. There you are. All right. So I've got another four or five paragraphs. You want me to skip this and do it again?
Yeah.
All right. So Bob here wants me off the air. He's gonna get it, but you're gonna have to get me on Thursday from 6 to 8 when I return.
Well,
here's a quick call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is David Silva.
Hey, David.
I'm sorry, David. Okay, I'll make it quick. I don't know what you're talking about, but I hope that every green that's within hearing shot will show up at Santa Cruz City Council Tuesday.
3 o'clock session.
3 o'clock session will be
yes.
important, but also since there is nothing substantial on the agenda, also the 7 o'clock session, I think it's important.
Right, the Camp Paradise is on the agenda in the
Camp
afternoon.
Camp Paradise, but nothing on the human rights violation.
No, that's true.
I want all Greens out there to know that, we did a litmus test for the first time last year, and Ed Porter was endorsed because of a litmus test, and he has not come forward with anything. So we should probably really consider never ever endorsing a Democrat again for some considerable amount of time, since he does represent the Democratic Party and a new alliance that was there. They ruined our alliance with Labor in that process, and we need to make sure that we try to regain some integrity. And the most important thing, of course, is for the people to have the right to sleep without fear of tickets to jail or beatings. And that goes for all of Santa Cruz County. It's time we start putting pressure on the county as well. If you're talking about the police department, know that every single thing that I've ever been involved in where we were close to getting this law changed, it always went to the chief of police for the last final review, and he is the man that's vetoed it. It's always been the police that have been against doing anything about having the homeless people having human rights. I got to go. I'm on the road.
Hey, thank you, David.
Sure thing.
All righty. Well,
thank you, Bob. I'm going to turn over the mic to you. Again, anything between times, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Come to the HUFF meeting on Wednesday, 30th Baker's Square in the morning. Bring your own coffee money or get ready to panhandle. Bob, you want to take over? Hey, thanks again for letting us know.